Kenny, and I'm not any better than any of you. Anybody can do the same thing. So as I go through this, if you notice something that is wrong or some mistake, don't hesitate to stop me and correct me. Okay. Let's start with the mantra. I think you have been doing this before, but I'll read the meaning of it in case if you don't know it, so that while chanting the mantra, at least you can contemplate on the meaning of the mantra. The meaning of this mantra is that may the absolute Lord protect us both, the teacher and the taught. May we enjoy the teaching together. May we gain strength together. May the study be illuminating. May we not misunderstand each other. Om, peace at physical level, peace at mental level, and peace at spiritual level. Now I will chant the mantra, and if you know it, you can chant with me too. Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryankara Vavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hare Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hare Om. And also today I thought we'll do the meditation. I'll be doing it a little bit differently than what he has been doing. Even though we'll initially do some pranayam technique, which is the breathing technique, and then I will do the meditation which is called as Yoga Nidra or Shavasana. Usually it is done in a posture where you lie down on the floor and then it's done, but it can be done while sitting also. So I will guide you through that, and we'll do that first. I also want to do the meditation first, and then maybe in last 20 minutes or so we'll do the today's topic discuss. Because my impression is that at the end of the meditation our mind is much more calm and hopefully receptive for the discussion. So let's start with the breathing pranayam, which you have been doing the same thing that I've been doing, but I'll guide you through that. Initially, you do that with your index and the middle finger. You're going to place it on your forehead and give a gap of about a millimeter or 2 millimeters between the two. And then you breathe through the left nostril and breathe out through the left nostril. Breathe through the left nostril and breathe out through the left nostril. This we'll do 7 times while closing the right nostril with the thumb. And then you take the thumb off of the right nostril and close the left nostril with your ring finger and breathe in and out through the right nostril for 7 times. After that, we'll go back and forth with both sides. As you've been doing, basically, you know it. You breathe in through the left side and breathe out through the right side. And breathe in through the right side and breathe out through the left side. That's one full cycle, and we'll do that 7 times. So let us start with placing the index finger and the middle finger in the center of the forehead. Close the right nostril with the right thumb. And breathe in through the left. Hold it and breathe out through the left. Breathe in through the left. Hold it and breathe out through the left. Breathe in through the left. Hold it and breathe out through the left. Breathe in through the left. Hold it. Breathe out through the left. hold it. Breathe in through the left. Hold it. Breathe out through the left. Hold it. Breathe in through the left. Hold it. Breathe out through the left. Now open the right nostril and place the left ring finger on the left nostril and open the right nostril. Breathe in through the right nostril. Hold it and breathe out right nostril. Hold it. Breathe in through the right nostril. Hold it. Breathe out through the right nostril. Hold it. Breathe in through the right. Hold it. Breathe out through the right. Hold it. Breathe in through the right. Hold it. Breathe out through the right. Hold it. Breathe in through the right. Hold it. Breathe out through the right. Hold it. Breathe in through the right. Hold it. Breathe out through the right. Hold it. Breathe in through the right. Hold it. Breathe out through the right. Hold it. Now that is called Alom Viloma technique. Alom Viloma technique. Breathing on alternate nostrils. Close the right nostril and breathe in through the left. Hold it. Open the right and breathe out through the right. Breathe in through the right. Close the right. Open the left. Breathe out through the left. Breathe in through the left. Close the left. Open the right and breathe out through the right. Breathe in through the right. Close the right. Open the left. Breathe out through the left. Breathe in through the left. Close the left nostril. Open the right. Breathe out through the right. Breathe in through the right. Close the right. And breathe out through the left. Breathe in through the left. Close the left. Open the right. Breathe out through the right. Breathe in through the right. Close the right. Open the left. Breathe out through the left. Breathe in through the left. Close the left. Open the right. Breathe out through the right. Breathe in through the right. Close the right. Open the left. Breathe out through the left. Breathe in through the left. Close it. Open the right. Breathe out through the right. Breathe in through the right. Close the right. Open the left. Breathe out through the left. Breathe in through the left. Close the left. Open the right. Breathe out through the right. Breathe in through the right. Close the right. Open the left. And breathe out through the left. And just bring your hands back on your knees. Keep your eyes closed. Now we'll start Yoga Nidra. Yoga Nidra, a yogic way of relaxing with full concentration of the mind. Try to get into any comfortable position. If you want to stretch your leg a little bit forward, that's fine. If you want to lean back, if the chair permits, you can do that. Hands by the side or on the knees. And try to relax all the way from the top of the head to the tip of the toes. Gradually bring your awareness to your abdominal region. And feel the abdominal wall moving forward as you breathe in. And feel the abdominal wall moving back as you breathe out. Tell to yourself, I know I'm breathing in as the abdominal wall moves forward. I know I'm breathing out as the abdominal wall moves back. Both abdomen and chest wall moves forward as you breathe in. And both abdominal and chest wall moves back as you breathe out. I know I'm breathing in as both abdominal and chest wall moves forward. I know I'm breathing out as the abdominal and chest wall moves back. To reinforce the same idea, tell to yourself, I know I feel I'm breathing in as the abdominal and chest wall moves forward. I know I feel I'm breathing out as the abdominal wall moves back. I know I feel I'm breathing in. I know I feel I'm breathing out. I know I feel I'm breathing in. I know I feel I'm breathing out. Bring your awareness gradually to the feet and ankle on both sides and tell it to relax. Bring the awareness to the leg and knees on both sides and tell it to relax. Bring the awareness to the thigh region and tell it to relax. Bring the awareness to the lower portion of the abdomen, lower back, pelvic region, and tell it to relax. Bring the awareness to the middle of the abdomen, upper portion of the abdomen, and middle of the back, and tell it to relax. Bring the awareness to the chest area, both in the front and back, and tell it to relax. Bring the awareness to the shoulder region, upper arm, elbows, forearm, wrist, and fingers on both sides, and tell it to relax. Bring the awareness to the neck region and tell it to relax. Bring the awareness to the back of the head, top of the head, forehead and face, and tell it to relax. Relax the whole body from the top of the head to the tip of the toes, and feel the body is getting lighter and lighter. Feel the awareness gradually moving away from your body slowly, going up into the ceiling of this hall. Feel the awareness gradually moving out of this hall through the windows into the open sky, free and flying, enjoying the mountains, rivers, forests, ocean. Thank you. and feel the breathing. Take a deep breath through the nostril and breathe out slowly through the center of your lips, mentally chanting, "Om," and open your eyes slowly, a millimeter at a time. Today the topic he wants to discuss is what makes a man. And what it means is what is the ideal quality or character or temperament that makes a perfect man or a human being. Man here of course is for women as well, so any human being, what is this perfect quality or character that makes them? So here we are going to be discussing who is human, what is his role in this world, are all human one and the same, if not, why not, and what makes them different, and what else is there in this world apart from human being, what other creations are there, and these are some of the things we want to discuss in the next few minutes. Most of this material I have obtained is from Swami Chinmayananda's writings and also from Swami Shivananda's writings. Swami Shivananda is his first guru. Swami Chinmayananda is our founder, guru. And his first guru, Swami Shivananda, and he initiated him to sannyas and gave the Swami his name, Swami Chinmayananda's name. And after a few years of getting learning from Swami Shivananda, Swami Shivananda advised him to go to learn something more and deeper with Swami Tapovan Maharaj. So he's the other guru for Swami Chinmayananda. So, but most of the things that I got it readings from the Swami Shivananda's writings and Swami Chinmayananda's writing. Swami Shivananda himself was a physician back home in India, and he worked as physician in Kerala and in Singapore, and later on he became sannyasi and stayed in Himalaya mountains, and he has written a lot of books, papers, and he has started his own ashram and all that. Anyway, today's, as I said, the topic is the what makes a man. So Swami Shivananda describes the life cycle in a simple words. He says, baby cries, a child dances and plays with the toys, and schoolboy takes the books and walks to the school. An adolescent turns his mustache, quarrels, fights, and chases girls. An adult goes to college, gets a degree, tries to get a name and fame, get a little older, get a spectacles, get a little older, gets dentures, then a walking stick, and one fine day passes away with a... It's like, you know, if you throw some drops of water on a heated iron rod, it makes some hissing noise and then it vaporizes right away. So the life cycle for us, most of us are like that. We just here for a short time, make some noise and we're gone. Even though we may stay for 80 years, 100 years, but when you consider this whole universe, that is practically nothing. And besides the human being in this world, in this creation, we also see this animal kingdom, plants, and also these inert objects like stone, earth, etc. Our ancient masters, religious masters, have scientifically analyzed all these beings, and they have come to a conclusion that even among human beings, there is a gradation. We are all not just the same. And they think this gradation is due to quality, a difference in the quality and texture of our mind and our intellectual convictions. So the inert objects are, they are basically merely just exist like a stone. They are not even aware of their own consciousness, and they don't react anything to their surroundings, to the world around them. There are some human beings who can relate to that, feels the same way, in the sense they are also very indifferent and very ignorant and totally unaware of their external circumstances and environments. The consciousness in them is very vague and indistinct, and they are embodiment of colossal laziness, basically lethargic and inertia. They don't have any kind of plans, no passions in their life. So these are the ones that they can call stone men, because that's how they react, basically, practically nothing. A little more advanced than the inert objects are the plants. Plants are also very lethargic. They also don't move anywhere. And they are also to some extent basically lazy, but they kind of react to their surroundings only for their own benefit, for their living, for their food and water. That's the only reaction they can show, the plants. And they don't have that much of emotion either, or very minimal. As an example, says a mother tree does not allow even its seedlings to grow under it. When the latter tries to compete with us for the same food and water, it won't even let its own seedlings to survive. So practically, you're saying that they don't have any emotion. In human beings also, somewhat, when you look at it, there are some people who have that steeped inertia, and they react only to an exaggerated happenings. They don't really react to anything that are routine. Something very unusual, any big thing, an earthquake, a big flood or something, then only they may react. They never exert anything or do anything that is constructive. They exercise discrimination only when the objects are gross and substantial, and they lack the basic emotion or feeling for the others. So these are the ones you can call it as plant men, who are a little bit better than stone men, but they also almost falls in the same category. A little bit better than this would be the animal world. Here they are a little more evolved, and they are a little more aware of the world around them. And they also have the faculty of intellect to some extent. And so because of that, their reactions to the world surrounding is a little bit better. And animals, they move from place to place in quest for food, unlike the plants, which doesn't move and die in the same location. If they don't get food, they just die in the same location. But the animals, which has improved a little bit better, so they kind of move around looking for their food. And their emotions and feelings are also a little bit better than the plants, and they show some feelings for themselves and for their offsprings. Also, there are some men, we can relate them to animals like animals. In the sense, their actions is always kind of very, is guided by their feelings and just the impulses. They just react to any impulse that comes like an animal. And never really use their discrimination, their intellect to do what and not to do. Their total reaction is basically like an impulse. And most of their desire is, most of their action is desire-ridden for themselves to be happy all the time or for their kith and kin. They're passionate with their desires and egocentric. So the last one or the fourth one is the man-men. These are the ones we would like to develop in our character. A human being has the maximum capacity for emotions, and his feelings embrace the entire universe. And they have developed some faculty of intellectual discrimination, which is quite advanced. So, you know, man is like a crown in this creation, and man is like a soul that is in having a body. Man's innermost essence of a human being is the presence of this Atman, or the divine spirit. All men are, of course, by nature equal, because we all have is the same Atman which is dwelling in all human beings. So by the nature of consciousness, all men are alike. When I say men, it's a human, all human are alike. But by the nature of mind and temperament, however, they are all wide apart. It's compared to an electricity. A lot of times in Vedanta we do the compare this to electricity. Electricity is compared to the Atman. And electricity that is going through different equipment exhibits different kind of quality. Like electricity going through the bulb gives the light, going through the fan gives the blow the air, or the heater gives the heat. Similarly, in all of us, Atman is like electricity. This is one and the same Atman which is present in all beings, but we are expressing different because of our different mindset and temperament. And a man of good action, a sweet speech, a truthful, gentle, humble, virtuous, and honest is the best type of man. And also the one who develops a universal love and constantly engage themselves in activity under the guidance of their superior intellect. These are the called man-men. Because man-men, and they alone can claim the prestige, dignity and glory of the man. When you say universal love, they have that love for everything that you come across or you see. So these are the basically four kinds of human beings that they are describing. And this is for us to study and to see where we are as personally, where we stand. This is not for us to measure someone else to see that this person is like, he's behaving like an animal or whatever. So this is all to study for ourselves. At most of the Vedanta is for us to see where we stand and how we can improve. So that's basically what I wanted to talk today. So maybe some of you can add something more to it and see anything else or the question.
That different from the tamas, rajas, and the sattvic?
Mm-hmm.
You don't categorize the same way?
Yeah, everybody has, sure, that is one of the qualities.
Yes,
and basically that kind of quality is present in everything.
Yes,
that's categories, those three categories in your physical body,
yes,
in your mind, everywhere that you can divide those into those three categories, sure.
Man, or like
exactly.
Enjoying, is
sure. We all do, depending upon our actions, the good actions and the bad actions. The more good actions you do, you go to higher level, heavenly, they call heaven lokas and all that. There are seven lokas apparently. You can get into any of those. Surya loka, Chandra loka and things like that. There are seven which are higher than this present man, this thing. On the other hand, if you're doing actions which are not that good, then you can end up at a lower level to the animal kingdoms or the plant kingdoms too. So, but wherever you go, once you exhaust that whatever you had acquired at the degree of amount of good or bad things that you had acquired, once that is exhausted, you will be coming back to the human birth. If you are doing the actions somewhat balanced between good and bad, you remain in the human birth, going on through the cycle of birth and death. So, okay. Yes.
So you mentioned Atma and you likened it to electricity, but I was wondering, you know, prana and then igni, which is the heat also. Is there any relationship to these behaviors or tendencies or categories?
Atma and what else?
It's Atma, igni, and the prana.
Agni, did you say agni?
Prana.
Agni and prana. They are different. What is your question? Is they are different than Atma? Is that?
Well, my observation is that you liken the Atma to the
electricity. Mm-hmm.
During your
right
course.
Mm-hmm.
But you never mentioned prana and the relationship with these tendencies or categories. And also the element of igni, which is like from what I heard, is in a lot of organs.
Okay, right. Agni is the heat. Agni is the heat. Yeah, you know, most of these examples or comparisons are kind of relative. They not exactly fit into it. You can't really say Atma is equivalent to the electricity, even though that's what we say, but you can't go 100% saying that, yes, that's, it's not, most of the examples in the Vedanta is like that. It's kind of grossly 80%, 90% you can say that. But it's not 100% kind of thing. So don't think that electricity is the Atma. It cannot be. That's one. And these didn't, prana and heat, they are not into this category. I don't think it gets into the picture here. Prana is your vital air, which is, usually it's five physiological functions are called pranas. Five physiological, the breathing, the digestion, circulation, evacuation, and procreation. Those five physical things are called pranas. So they're not getting into this picture basically. I think Anilji will be back next week. He's out of town today. So,
which book did you use?
The Kindle.
Oh, okay.
Kindle Life. Okay. Is that what all of you read and
yes,
come?
Yes,
this is
yes,
what he is using the text?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, Kindle.
Like, also at Swami Shivananda's book.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's something different.
Yeah.
I know we had the Kindle.
Oh, I see, right. Yeah.
Interesting, very nice.
Okay, let's do the closing prayers. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. Thank you all very much.